It's DDK, and you're listening to TCR.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I hope you all had a wonderful off week. I know we sure did. Right? We took last week off, right?
Yes, we did.
Look at that. I'm so busy with the show all the time. I don't take off weeks.
We still did show stuff.
We don't take off weeks, fam. We're always here. Always.
I'm just
going
to tell
something.
Everybody to go back and listen to the first three episodes or whatever. We're like, this is a bi-weekly show. Every other time that we've given you an episode every
kosher
week.
Kosher.
That's out of the kindness of our hearts.
You don't have to do shit. But we are back. We are back. The Center Ring is our name, TCR for short. You might refer to us as your favorite esports podcast with a lowercase e. But we are back. Episode 33, if my notes are correct. You can let me know if my notes are incorrect on our Twitter account, at The Center Ring. You can find me at Pirate Mushroom, because that's my name. Co-host is Brandon. His Twitter is what? At
Brand Any New.
We need to make that new intro a little longer because I like to
ramble. I was really
on.
Enjoying it though.
It's a pretty good
I
intro.
Like it.
DJ Shadow, Nobody Speak, if you're interested in that beat. That's the instrumental version. The one with words is with Run the Jewels, and it's quite littered with profanity. So
can't use that one.
Earplugs if you have the kiddos around. But we have a hell of a show for you today. Probably the best episode ever. Since we are all about traditions here at TCR, we will be talking about CSGO. We have roster moves again with Team Liquid. It's like musical chairs for Team Liquid CSGO. We wanted to discuss that. Also, we aren't going to go into a full-on major preview just yet. I think we're saving an episode where we just break that bad boy down 100%. But we did, the groups were announced, so we'll touch on the groups. I don't want to do predictions just yet, but it's worth mentioning. And then you have tons of stuff coming up at the end of the show for e-news. So much. Mortal Kombat X Season 3 ended. We'll dive a little bit into that. To start the show, though, something we don't talk about a whole lot, probably not enough for how much I enjoy watching it, but just let's face it, there's people out there who know more than we do on the matter, but that's Dota 2. You had a major this weekend, so of course we at least have to bring it up. The Manila major was this weekend. It was a hell of a major, if you could watch it and stay up that late or get up that early, depending on how you wanted to watch it. But it was a good one. Of course, going over it, I'm sure, again, you know who won and everything. But you did have OG ended up defeating Team Liquid. So this now, OG is the first person to, or the first team, I should say, to win two of the big majors.
With the same roster.
They won the Frankfurt major, and then they won the Manila major. In between, you had Team Secret, which I will touch on here in a second because the Team Secret EG storyline is fascinating to me and it's a mess. But we will touch on that in a second. So OG ended up taking it. They ended up beating Team Liquid. Team Liquid is the runner-up darlings of the Dota 2 world. They came in second place against Team Secret at the Shanghai Major. And also, same score, 3-1 here. To my surprise, though, I mean, I will give credit where credit's due with Team Liquid because I honestly didn't think they were even going to make it to the grand finals in this one, partially because they were sent to the loser's bracket very, very early on in round one against MVP Phoenix. They were sent to the loser's bracket and had to fight all their way back up to the grand finals. So looking here, they lost to Team Liquid. Then in lower brackets, round two, they beat Complexity, then they beat Na'Vi, they beat Fnatic, arguably one of the best teams, then they beat LG, arguably one of the best teams, and then they beat Newbie, which Newbie was the only one in the loser's bracket to even take them one round, which was shocking. They were up 1-0, and everyone was like, this is it. this is where Liquid's going to drop the ball in the loser's bracket and be eliminated by Newbie. Not the case. They came back and won 2-1, and then everyone knows how the tournament ended against OG. Now, I say it's surprising that they were able to do all of that through some of the top teams in the world. Don't let that confuse, though, that Liquid is also, I mean, according to Gosu, ranked number one in the world. According to GosuGaming.com, which I feel like is a pretty reputable source for world rankings. Wouldn't you agree?
I use it.
So Liquid ends up going into second place again. The finals for me, I don't want to break it all down because, like I said, everybody knows how it happened. But they ended up... So the thing with MOBAs, and you can talk about League, Heroes of the Storm, insert any MOBA, it can be won and lost in the draft.
That's what, out of the games, in the finals, specifically in the finals, the only game that Liquid managed to take in that first where they actually had a scoreline of 38-10 kills and ended up, OG ended up GGing at about 37 minutes, I think it was. Out of those games, that's the only successful draft that Liquid had. After that, OG drafted so much better than they did for the rest of the games, and it just steamrolled them.
And that's, like, in the first game, Liquid really oriented their draft around vision. They had a lot of vision in the first game, which can help to a lot of ganks, right? Which can help to a lot of off-balance fighting, buybacks, so now you have the economy out of whack. And that's one way that you can dwindle a team down, like OG. But like you said, other than that, they essentially were getting roasted all the way through. I know in game four, OG's Batrider was having crazy lassos that was really, like, that can ruin your night. Is when you have a plan going, and then all of a sudden you're lassoed, getting lifted halfway across the map, and then you're done before you can even react to it. So that's one way that OG was able to just come out over Team Liquid. And so this is my question to you, all right? And I tweeted about this, so maybe you can let me know, listener, singular, listener, because there's only one of you out there.
There's two.
Our moms don't count.
We know them both. We met one of them.
Yeah.
Anyway, question. True.
Questionable. So, in this atmosphere, right? Like, we were competitive gamers at one point in time. We played at tournaments. We were semi-pro. Now, in Dota, they call GG. Like you said, rarely do you see the core actually destroyed. Like, there's never a base race. Hardly ever. Rare sight to see.
Right.
Because people will just... I mean, that's what it is. It's kind of, all right, we know we've defeated. Call GG. We'll move on to the next game. Could you find yourself, though, doing that in the grand finals?
Like, I wouldn't be able to do it.
Like, you have... It's... $1 million on the line. Now, they still... So, OG won $1 million. Liquid won $400,000. Still a nice purse.
$450,000, yeah.
But, you know, not I don't a million.
Think, but the Would problem you, is it's so ingrained in Dota's, like... That's but Dota.
Even if it's like a pride thing, like with me, and this is why I tweeted, like, you would be hard pressed for me to even work up the nerve to type GG, to admit defeat like that. I'm going down fighting.
Sorry. So like if I talk I about my liquid, personal,
like you said, literally everybody does this.
Yeah. If I take my own personal feelings into it, if you would have asked me 5 years ago, if I would have ever GG'd in a competitive game, I would have told you no, like I would have gone down fighting.
Well, that was always our rule. No matter how bad we're getting beat in Halo 2, never quit early.
Yeah, like that's frustrating.
Play to the whistle.
Now I'm at that point where I'm like, it's like just playing Overwatch. If I see a game that goes south super fast, I don't have the energy to...
I make you play to the whistle.
I would GG. I think I would GG play to the whistle. Point.
You never know. Maybe you get that one kill, right? Maybe Liquid was one kill away just to throw everything off. But now we'll never know because they called GG. And at least, like I said...
You can't have those kind of swings in Dota.
When you have $500,000, $600,000 on the difference, play to the whistle. Like, you play till they destroy your core. Just as a pride thing. Come on.
I wonder how much longer the games would take.
30 seconds.
You think it would take that much longer?
Yes, because like I said, realistically, they call GG when it is.
I mean,
like
OG tried a couple times to defend in game one and ended up GGing once they realized that the defense wasn't working. I mean,
it's very obvious. Like you said, you get that feel, and especially when you're at the level they are.
You know.
You pros don't make the mistakes that you need them to make to come back on
Yeah,
those.
You're not pugging. So
yeah, it's
I can understand it.
I understand it. I'm just saying, me personally, hard press to get me to do that. One of the main other storylines, though, for this major, for me, the lack of North American presence going on right now.
What's new?
In this scene here. And honestly, it's kind of all doing it to itself. Team Secret, which is not North American, but has North Americans on the team, however you want to view it. Team Secret, though, a team where they won the last major, right? They won Shanghai not 3 months ago, literally 3 months. That's how long it's been since Shanghai, where Team Secret won and was known for being one of the best teams in the world. Now, according to Gosu Gaming, Gamers, whatever, they are ranked, let me see here, 18, because they are just in shambles. They haven't won a game since April. Now, keep in mind, that's only seven because Dota, they just don't play as many games as you're used to.
Were they not considered a bit of an underdog at Shanghai? I mean, I know they won, but they weren't like the team.
No, yeah. But they had roster moves since then.
Yeah.
Which was one of the things where you had Arteezy and Universe leave Evil Genius to go join them. And now, when both of them, Evil Genius and Team Secret, ended up being dead last at this major. Both of them. Do you think that's coincidence? Because I don't. You think two teams where you had two guys leave, just straight up leave, borderline unannounced, to go join Team Secret, and now all of a sudden you're in last place in the major? And now after the major, Universe announced that he's leaving Team Secret again to go join EG.
I'm still beyond, I don't understand how their contracts are so loose that they can just be like, eh.
Well, I told you, like, what are you going to do? If you have a player call you out on their bluff.
I ain't feeling this place anymore.
Go ahead, play me.
So you would think having a player like Universe and Arteezy that join your team to finish last place is pretty, almost like you have to try for it.
It's just, I think it's a mental, like at that point, man, it's just, they probably dealt with so much.
I did read now that because of all of those team changes that both of them have to go through open qualifiers again.
Yes. Oh yeah.
I actually feel kind of bad about for like the smaller teams that would have probably made it through open qualifiers. Right,
because, like, okay, yeah, great. You get to go through open qualifiers and destroy.
Yeah, people. Like you're base. That's what Virtus Pro would have done if they played Premier League, which I don't know if they've ever came out and decided they were going to play it or not. But I mean, that's I feel bad for the teams that were going to work their way up and earn their spot through that because the stupid roster. Because
now they're taking spots that they could probably get away with being invite.
Yeah.
So that is my drama as far as Dota is concerned. The fact that EG, which was number one for a little bit there when they were on their kind of rampage of winning tournaments and majors and ITs and all that fun stuff.
That was like the NA hopes and dreams. They were the only NA team winning anything.
Yes. No, you're absolutely correct. When they won the 2014 International, they were absolutely referred as like, this is it. NA is finally there. We are here. We're making a statement. Let's blow it up. Because what better way to represent NA than to blow up a roster? Which is a perfect segue into our next discussion here.
That was well done.
Well, I'm a professional. If we're being serious. Our next discussion, Team Liquid, Counter-Strike GO. Made yet not one, but essentially two roster moves.
Well, one officially announced, one confirmed but not announced.
Okay, so lay this down for me then. Which one is, I guess, explain to the listeners what both of them were, and then let me know which one's official and which one's not.
All right, so Kusta has been removed, and JDM was added. Simple, who's been on a stand-in basis since he left Liquid, probably about a month ago, I think it was about a month ago, and it's been announced that Pimp, or not announced, it's been confirmed by sources to ESPN, which I feel like I could probably use that as a credible source. I don't think
it's
they're going to go.
Weird sounding, isn't it?
Yes.
According to ESPN.
Pimp is going to be taking the official spot after the major. So JDM and Kusta were a swap. Kusta is now going to be playing with CLG, which unfortunately for that team, they, as much as I was actually really starting to enjoy watching CLG play, that E-League game against Astralis was very entertaining last Friday.
This trade confuses me.
But to lose JDM and then straight up take Kusta back, something's going on behind the scenes.
Like some under the table
there is,
profit.
Because this is there. I mean, Kusta's not a bad player. He's incredibly inconsistent. Where JDM was like the guy for CLG's consistency went. Tarek was good. Tarek had great games, but Tarek was never always good, consistently good. JDM had that going for him. So, I mean, I guess in that mindset, Kusta kind of makes sense because he will be just as inconsistent as the rest of that roster is. But JDM, I mean, if you ask me, CLG is constantly wanting respect. And like you were talking about
Hayes posting
about how they thought they were better than C9 and Liquid, but everybody kind of looks at them like the forgotten child of NA. You don't have a chance to make that up now.
It's kind of takes the air out of the room when CLG was on the up and up, and now that's their roster, which is so, to me, Kusta is such a lackluster of a name. I know people say that his potential is through the roof, kind of like Stewie2K, where, hey, right now, yeah, he's working on it, but just give it time. They're young.
Here's my deal.
Do we have that patience, though?
Here's my deal with that. So Stewie2K has kind of found his stride with Cloud9, right? I feel like we tell ourselves that these young NA players have potential because they're not good. And what I mean by that is, like, we've constantly talked about the NA talent pool being super shallow. Now that we're, like, at the bottom of it, trying to find, like, the pebbles of skill left at the bottom of the, you know, the puddle, the only way we can make ourselves feel better about having to pick up these players for these teams like Kusta and Stewie is, oh, they're young. They've got a lot of potential. They can be good one day. But I don't feel like any of them are able to seriously contribute to some of the teams that they're on.
Well, and the also issue with the one day statement is fans don't have the patience and organizations have about half the patience that we do. So,
I mean, Team Liquid alone, we counted it. Seven roster moves since
seven
Fugly.
Roster. So let's look since Fugly's departure from Team Liquid. I have them written down here. Fugly left. They added Simple. Adren left for Kusta, but Adren had to come back for the major. So we're counting that as two roster moves.
Because Kusta had qualified for a minor championship with
Enemy at the time. So, which is now Selfless. But looking there, we're counting that as one roster move, right? A roster move to us is anything that changes your mental landscape as a player. So if Liquid had to think of a different way to approach a game because now they have a different member on the roster. Then after the major, Simple left because Kusta was coming back on, which was the plan all along, right?
No. The original plan was to drop Adren for Kusta.
That's right.
Simple got upset at it because after the major performance, he enjoyed playing with Adren more, and Adren rifling gave Simple the opportunity to op, but when Kusta came back, they're like, you're not opping anymore. And there's that whole drama about him wanting to go to boot camp in Europe and da-da-da-da-da history, and then he left.
Right. Okay.
Went back to Russia.
Right. So, Simple left.
And Kusta was on the roster full-time with Adren.
Right.
Who he was originally supposed to replace.
Yes. And that's where, yes, that's what I was forgetting, was the mess of Simple leaving. Yep. Adren was still on the roster. Kusta came back, which was a mess to begin with, because now you know tensions are awkward there when you're essentially playing with the guy who was going to take your roster spot. Then Adren was recently, what, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, officially announced, like, he is gone.
Done.
No longer even on contract. Done. Anyone can sign him. He's a free agent for as long as the organization is concerned. So now they announced that Simple's returning as just a temporary piece to the major.
Stand-in, yep.
He's a strict stand-in for now. We'll see. We'll see where that takes them. Because success can do a funny thing to decision-making.
I mean, but the things that Simple was complaining about haven't been fixed.
No, and this is right, and this is where I was getting at. So if they do decide to, whatever, keep Simple over Pimp, who is supposedly the guy coming in after Simple's gone, because JDM took over Kusta's role. Well, JDM's an opper.
Yeah.
So that's taking over Simple's op. Now, Simple might be a little bit more comfortable, though, knowing that JDM is the other opper and not Kusta.
And JDM is good.
Right. Like, it's a lot. Like, having, and this is like, some people are like, well, how are they going to do two oppers now? That doesn't make any sense. Well, I wouldn't complain about having JDM and Simple on your team.
No.
Like, they're good enough.
That's a lot of skill.
Yeah, they're good enough guys to where, so you both want to be oppers? We'll figure that out later. Come join the team. Like, if Guardian wanted to play on Liquid, do you think Liquid would be like, you know what, Guardian?
We already have an opera.
I don't.
We actually got two.
Yeah. Oh, Fallen, you want here? Sure, you can come, but
let's just make sure the contracts are straight.
Your aim bots need to stay. Okay, Fallen. Then you can come. And then now you have Pimp, which is going to be a rifler.
He is a rifler, yeah.
So he tried dipping his toes into the opping pool. It worked out, but that was more so because his team wasn't that good at the time. So now he's going to be a rifler for
Liquid. He's good at that. He's good at that.
I've always been a fan of Pimp. I wasn't a fan that he left Dignitas. For what, in my brain, Pimp is still Dignitas to me.
I think after when AZ left as well, was kind of like I feel like those two were the two on that team that kind of kept it afloat.
But still, to me, it's weird seeing Pimp in any other jersey than Dignitas. Right. I don't know why. It's just that's the way it sticks in my brain. That's how it should be. But I think he's going to work well on the team. Again, Liquid being that NA team jumping into the European pool. They're not afraid. I think maybe playing with Simple on their team made them realize, like, you know what? This can work. Moving somebody here can work theoretically. Hopefully Pimp doesn't get as homesick, or maybe Liquid learned from their mistake. Now, what also helps with Liquid, though, and I don't know if you saw Hiko's tweet about this, they're going to be in Europe for like the next 2 months.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Maybe so, that's why Simple's willing to play all the stand-in time.
Well, I'm sure. Because
they're boot camping over there, right. If I read correctly.
Oh, yeah. They have their boot camping, major boot camp and tournament, or vice versa. However that schedule is working out, I have it in front of me. But so that probably is going to help with any team bonding moment where if you are picking up Pimp, you're over there already.
Oh,
you can have those 2 months.
We forgot our roster move.
Which one?
GB James getting removed for Peacemaker.
Oh, yes. Which also plays a big part.
Yeah, people don't think of it, but
that's the voice in the back of your head. I know people make those arguments about coaches and did James really do that much. Whether or not he did a lot or did nothing at all to have direct impact on the team, that's still somebody telling you to do something, right? That's still a voice in the locker room. So I think that does make a difference. So yes, we completely forgot about James leaving and then them getting Peacemaker. So what's that? So now that's eight.
That's eight roster moves.
In the matter of
3 months
since the major.
Yep.
What are we going to do?
I mean, once this roster settles, the Hiko with Hiko, Nitro, Elise, JDM, and Pimp, it's going to be a solid roster.
The roster looks good. I'll give them that. This is the first time that since the major that you looked at the roster and thought, okay.
The thing that bothers me is I guess it's probably not as big of a deal in esports because people are so used to changing teams.
And but playing
with people. I would hate to play with a team that I'm like, if I have a bad month, I'm gone. Like, that's it. Obviously, nobody that's played, everybody that's been kicked off this roster has been able to play with another team.
So speculating then with a Dren, because he's literally been asked to leave the roster, had an amazing major, asked to come back, and now told to leave again. So there's two questions here. He is definitely giving the middle finger all day to Team Liquid, right? Like, that guy is not happy. B, though, do you think he was released because of his lack of performing, or do you think that's more of a I'll call it a locker room attitude? Do you think it's more of an issue in the locker room if we're stealing something from traditional sports, where it's just his presence there is just kind of negative and it rubs people the wrong way?
You think Adren's
presence? Not making up for it? Because look, Adren didn't get along with Simple. Simple and Adren did not get along, which is why Adren was leaving in the first place. Because Simple is better than Adren, but look, if you're going to bring attitude to the table, if your skills, if you're not making up for it, then we're going to have to adjust.
I think it might be a locker room thing, but I don't think it has anything. I think it's much less to do with Liquid or with Adren and Simple as it does with Hiko and everyone else. This is purely speculation on my point.
You know, that's what I'm saying. This is just me asking, what do you think it is that makes Adren
All right, so I think the original reason why Adren was kicked off was because Adren was playing poorly. He had ups and downs.
Did after the major, too, to be
right,
fair.
All right, so he was playing poorly. He was removed because Hiko was not happy with Wayer's performance. And if you notice, the people that came out and said that it was a Simple versus Adren thing was Hiko. He's the one that said it on that video that was playing at the major in Columbus, talking about the clash of personalities. Then you have the major where Adren goes absolutely ham up until they play Luminosity. And then you got Liquid, or you got, I keep saying Liquid, you got Simple coming out afterwards, after the major, saying, oh, he really enjoyed playing with Adren. Like, Adren was rifling. Adren helped with the in-game leading when Hiko couldn't keep up with it. And but then later on, you hear again that Adren starts going through those up and downs, and all of a sudden he's kicked off the roster again. Like I said, pure speculation, but to me that sounds more like manipulation than somebody had a clash of personalities. Somebody's trying to manipulate the information that's getting out to people and set expectations for what's caused things to happen. I will say Adren's removal from the roster makes sense, because after that major, he obviously got himself a little bit of a leash with Liquid, playing as well as he did at the major. But like you said, he's gone through those same ups and downs that he did before that, and that's why he's gone now. I think it's more to do with that and Hiko not wanting him there than it is with anybody's personalities clashing.
And we'll see going into the future then, because Adren's definitely going to have teams look at him. So if he wants to, he can definitely continue his pro career as a player.
Yeah, even if he doesn't want to do a player, you know he'll be a coach or something, or an analyst.
But you're going to get one of those fringe teams that pick him up.
Yeah.
You're going to have a team like Echo Fox or...
Energy might go after
and
our, him, yeah.
Yeah, Energy might pick one up. You know, you're going to see teams like that, I think, go for him. I would say Optic Gaming, but they are playing really well. They actually qualified for the major. Speaking of that major, you have the ESL 1 Cologne. Groups were announced. Heaven forbid if you have to look for them, because they're not on their website.
Why would you put it there?
Because it makes too much sense.
Yeah, why would you want to put it on the website?
Too much sense. One team that you will not see there, though, is Cloud9. They lost to G2 in the qualifier in a most depressing manner. So
G2's been going off.
So G2 is my... I don't want to get into a preview.
No, stop.
Before we get into preview.
All right.
But G2 scares me, because not only do they mess up every bet that I put on, I don't bet skins very often, but when I do, it's against G2, and they constantly screw me.
I think you were yelling about that the other weekend.
It was E-League,
Yeah.
It was I think it was E-League. G2 against Luminosity. And I was like, done. And Luminosity lost. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Or was it Luminosity?
It was a Luminosity game. I don't remember if it was against G2. I may be misremembering that part.
It's just G2 nonetheless. They hurt me. But they scare me because they're good. They can be amazing, and then they can, you know, look like G2.
Shox has decided to remember how to play Counter-Strike. The team, I digress.
The team depends on him.
Yeah.
Shox and Scream both.
Yep.
The team depends on them, no doubt. But looking at the groups, again, no previews. I'm just going to read them off here because they were announced. Group, I guess they don't have the actual group names. But in one group, you have Liquid, VP, Mousesports, and Envious. In the second group, you have Luminosity, Fnatic, which we were going to bring up in E-News at the end of the show, but Olaf Meister is back. He's back this week for E-League, and I'm going to assume that means he's back. I'm assuming, unless some complication happens.
Was it Grimms? Who's the one that got, nominated for eSport Player of the Year or something like that? One of the two. Anyway.
So you have FaZe and G2 is all in that. That group's actually going to be really fun to watch. Luminosity, Fnatic, FaZe, and G2. That'll
be a good one.
That has chances of upsets. Group, I guess C, you have Astralis, CLG, which kind of not that exciting anymore.
JDM. How is JDM playing?
So this is what Liquid? I was wondering that, and I just didn't want to ask to sound stupid.
Hiko tweeted out and said that JDM on their roster for the major.
No, he definitely did. And I was confused as well because I was always under the impression that teams you qualified with is the team you had to play with, which was the whole reason why they did that. The only thing I can assume is because they're both in the major, it's okay.
Maybe that's why they did a straight swap.
Because they're
both in the major.
And it's like, well, I guess both teams were there when they qualified, so sure. Because they were both legendary status going into this. They both pre-qualified from getting into the playoffs in MLG. So that's the only thing I can assume. But then you have Gambit Gaming and Dignitas. Then the fourth group, you have Na'Vi, NiP, Optic Gaming, and Flipside. So, overall, very exciting. Not nearly as much NA presence in this one when all you have is Team Liquid and CLG. NA, Optic Gaming. They're Canadian, but whatever. All North. At least they're actually North America, not like Luminosity. So, I think that is going to be a very fun major to watch. But again, that's not for another 3 weeks. So, we don't want to preview it right yet. We will. But I want to dedicate a whole episode to previewing that. Maybe just an actual, maybe a bonus episode. Maybe when we get our studio set up, that can be the first actually video streamed live show. No promises, though, because knowing us.
Let's do it.
It'll be, we'll procrastinate in a year and it doesn't matter. You know what? I could promise it. I still don't care. So we could still just bypass it and move right on from there. Other than that, what else do you have for the Liquid moves? Anything else on the horizon that you can see?
No, I was hoping I could figure out how JDM is playing with it, but I don't see any information on that or easily available information. So
that is the key.
Yeah.
Easily available information. All right. Let's just move on to e-news then. It's kind of a bulky e-news because, to be honest, we actually were going to talk about a third topic. But we're like, maybe not. So we moved it to E-News. And so we're just going to talk about it. First topic of E-News is the fact that Heroes of the Storm, we kind of talked about it, I think it was last episode, where MVP Black was talking about leaving the scene. They were just basically going to hang up their Heroes of the Storm hopes and dreams. MVP Black being the number one team of the game. Well, now in the shadows of that, Cloud9, a top NA organization and a top team in Heroes of the Storm, arguably number two, has left. They weren't even saying they were thinking about it. They have left. What happened was is Cloud9 failed to qualify for the NA Summer Regionals because Niventic and Gale Storm ended up eliminating them from the NA Summer Regionals, which was basically the two upcoming North American teams.
Right.
Gale Force. Did I say Gale Force?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now Cloud9 ended up just dropping it all together. Not a whole lot of... They announced it on their website, but in the statement, there wasn't a whole lot of like information. I don't know if you read it.
I read a bit of the statement, but I also
looked up... Very generic.
I looked up... they basically said that the Twitter accounts for the players are going to be the best place to get information about what they're doing forward or going forward. Three of the players are going to be... Are just going to test free agency and see if they can find another team. One of them is actually retiring... To go back to school, I suppose, is what
so,
I garnered from his tweets.
But other than that, though, it was a very, very basic,
just
we're dropping thanks, the team.
Thanks for all, yeah. for everything. Wish you the best. Good luck.
So, which leads us to do what we do best, and that's speculate into thinking. My theory is, this is more of Cloud9, the organization, saying, we're cutting cost. Like, We can't drop our CSGO team entirely, and they're not making us money. Even when you guys win tournaments, there's not enough money in HOTS to support it. So we have to drop the roster. The game's not that popular. I don't want to make that argument because you're just not going to convince anyone of it if they think it is. But Cloud9 is no longer a HOTS roster, okay? Now you have Niventic and Gale Force being the two North American teams that are kind of top dog. Like, they're going one and two back and forth every time. My piece with this is that, like, I was watching the tournament this morning, and it's just kind of awkward, if we're being honest. It's awkward coming from someone who played Heroes of the Storm a lot, watching it now, and I feel like I am just watching a dying game. Like, just there's really no other better way to put it. And like I said, I don't really want to make an argument saying one way or the other and go into whether or not it is dying or isn't. I'm just looking at it for what it is, where you have Cloud9 and MVP Black thinking about leaving. Cloud9 did leave. Okay. Blizzard, yes, it's backed by Blizzard, so it's always going to be there. Don't get me wrong. But as far as like these updates that they did, like they're finally adding now a season. Like, season one is finally coming a year after the game has been released. They're finally doing all these updates to kind of get people back. And I know people are saying, like, oh, well, they need to advertise again and get more people in there. Well, here's us, like me and you. We played literally every day. We got on Heroes of the Storm every day and played for hours. Our issue was never coming back or anything. We were there. Keep the players that are there. How about you try to interest them?
Blizzard killed their own game. What are we doing now that we're not playing Heroes of the Storm?
We're playing Overwatch.
Cloud9 has, not arguably, has the best. It's not even arguable. Has the best Overwatch team right now. Like, a team that has made other top teams look just dumb.
So are you saying then... Don't let me put words in your mouth. But the fact that maybe now that the Cloud9 roster is gone for HOTS, that Cloud9 kind of saw what they have going on. And I mean, already, and it's kind of sad, but I think already Overwatch is having a tournament with bigger prize pools than HOTS ever has.
I can't remember off the top of my head what the Heroes of the Storm, like the qualifying tournaments and stuff, what the prize pools were.
I know, like, overall, it's like a million per
Overwatch. Overwatch has just announced a $100,000 prize pool. And the game has only been out for like 3 weeks.
Not Blizzard sponsored.
No, I think it's ESL.
And that's the difference, yeah. There is that Overwatch is getting this backing from all these other leagues, I guess you could say, and then having that support where Heroes of the Storm just wasn't. So I think my money on the table, Cloud9 dropped their roster in Heroes of the Storm because they realized that they were not making money and won't make money from there.
I believe it. I mean, the only thing keeping it afloat is Blizzard's tournaments, Heroes of the Dorm and then the championship.
And even then, they're awful times. Times to watch. I don't know. It's very sad. Very sad because I love the game, but sorry about your problems, bruh. Moving on, what else do you have for the E news?
Speaking of Overwatch, we'll go ahead and... Well, actually, let's talk about prize pools first. We haven't covered this yet, right?
No, we're actually... All right. Good, because we forgot to bring it up during the Dota segment.
Yeah, Dota 2. Harking back to our first segment. The Dota 2 prize pool has officially exceeded $11,684.
And doesn't it still have like...
It is only about a third of the way through. We're at day like 20, what is it?
Seven, I think.
Yeah, we're at day 28 of 90 of 100.
That is ridiculous. What was it at for this time last year for... So
for the same time last year, it was at 2015, it was at 9,471,000.
And we're at 11 million.
We're at 11,670,000 about.
Ugh, that so is
we're
insane.
So we're about 2.2 million more. Granted, Valve, instead of putting in $1 million like they did last year, they put in 1.6 million, but that's only 600,000 and it's over $2 million.
So the 600 is irrelevant at this point.
At this point, it didn't. It's helped, but it hasn't affected the fact that it's more money.
That is crowdfunding for you.
There was a much larger spike in 2015.
Well, you'll see it though as majors approach. Like even this year, you can kind of see where the majors are because there's always a large spike in the.
But you can tell Valve got really smart about when they're offering certain things with the compendiums because you can. There's more. Ups and there's more large spikes with this one so far than there has been with the other ones.
Insane. And yet we are so bad at that game. Insane.
Man.
If I could go back in time, I would tell past
Tim. It's going to pass 18 million again.
I will
easily.
Tell past Tim to get his ass on Dota 2 and learn it. Because that is ridiculous. Yeah. Moving on. You did have the Mortal Kombat X Season 3 finale. That was this... weekend. It was awesome, mind you, even though my arch nemesis Sonic Fox ended up winning. So this is his not only his second, but it's his third. He had the three-peat. He's won season one, season two, and season three, all of them. And you have, I don't know if you have the number in front of you, but didn't you say he's like top all time for winnings?
Yeah, he topped all time.
Which makes sense if you win season one, two, and three, right? Mathematically, that makes sense. But Sonic Fox is...
I want to say Sonic Fox is like 240K. It's not a lot. It's right. It's not a lot. But he is the most winningest Mortal Kombat player.
And for those who don't know, the reason I really am upset that Sonic Fox won, despite him being American and beating a Brit, is he drives me up the wall. Absolutely insane. He's amazing, right? Hands down, best player in the game. Can't argue with him. Even though now he plays Alien, which is, to me, a very cheesy character.
Is it like the Ice Climbers?
And he knows it. He knows it because there's some BS moves you can do with him.
It's the Ice Climbers.
And he has cheesy moves. And he even said it. I don't know if it's in the piece of audio that I'm about to play, but he even says it. He's like, oh, I know some people have an issue with Alien, but you know, whatever. So, whatever. But mad respects for Sonic Fox, despite his stupid ears and tails. But here's a little piece of audio. This is him just saying thank you and everything here.
So I want to first give a shout out first of all to everybody coming out here. I mean, yeah, like guys came, made this event happen. And shout out to obviously NetherRealm, you know, making this whole thing happen. The ESL staff for being so kind and, you know, not making me starve. Mike Z up there in the crowd. Actually, I love him. He was like here with me. He's covering up. He was here with me, the whole crowd. My brother and cousin and his friend, Trey, all over there. You know, shout outs to you guys for coming out and supporting me. My family back at home. Obviously, the furries. Skullgirls community, you know, hold up.
Do you think that is the first time in any thank you speech?
Furries were mentioned?
Furries was brought up.
Probably.
That's the whole reason I just played that 30-second clip. It's for the very end where he's thanked
the furries. Now our conversation from earlier makes sense. Got it.
Like, it's too much. As I had on Twitter a discussion this week. I just need Sonic Fox to get off my lawn. It's just, I don't need my guys to wear furry ears and a furry tail while he's competing. I don't need bits, all right? Esports itself is enough of a bit. I don't need them to be bits. Just be normal, please. For my sake, I just have a very hard time rooting for him. I want to like him because I love Mortal Kombat, but I find myself in a tough spot when he is the top of the game. Well, let's see, what else did we mention? I already mentioned All of Meister's returning. That's exciting. And one thing that's a bit odd to me, Team YP is signing an all-girls roster to compete in League of Legends. Now, me being the very intense research journalist that I am, all I read was the title of the article. So I don't know if they're competing and fighting in LCS, like official Riot-sanctioned tournaments, but I have a hard time believing that if you are in an argument with Capcom and every other organization under the sun about not being represented for being affiliated with YouPorn, Riot Gaming is definitely not going to let you be affiliated. Am I wrong to think that?
No. I told you I was under the impression that LCS already said it was never going to happen.
So did they just create a roster for the sake of saying they have a all-girls league roster?
Maybe this is their plan all along, is to keep picking up rosters until leagues tell them they're not allowed to do it and everybody's like, oh, it's just porn.
Is it just porn, though? Is it just porn? It's a weird conundrum. We've talked about it before on the show. There's no reason to get back into it. The rules are the rules. If they don't want you there, I'm sorry, they don't want you there. But to me, I was with you. I thought Riot has already basically said, like, look, gambling and porno are two things not we're just happening. Not going to jump on board for. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. I think that's it. That's all I have. Do you have anything else?
No.
Very cool. Well, what a fun show we had today. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it was the best episode ever. Like I said, next week, we might have a video of us actually talking. It might not be live streamed, but just in case it is streamed live, follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. You'll definitely get an update if we do get on our Twitch. Furthermore, you could follow us on our Twitch. That's also another easy way to know if we go live. We might do a test run first. I don't know. But you can also probably subscribe to us on YouTube and, you know, see how that goes. I don't know. You could be old school cool like me and only listen to the audio still, because that's still going to happen. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Either way, episode 34 will be next week. We will discuss maybe the roster preview. Maybe.
Yeah, major preview.
That's 2 weeks from then, I believe. So, yeah, that's a good time to do it. Maybe we'll get a guest. Probably not. Seem to hit a dry spell on that one.
We peaked way too early.
Yeah, we did, man. We hit hard. Anyways, thank you so much again for listening. My name is Tim. You can find me on Twitter at Pirate Mushroom. His name is Brandon. You can find him on Twitter at
Brandon E. New.
Excellent. You can always follow everything to do with the show on our website, tcr.gg. Until then, keep an eye on the Twitter at The Center Ring. I hope you all have a wonderful life, and we will see you next week.